This episode of Talking to Mod is sponsored by Sam's Barbershop in Northern Ireland. Not only can you get a haircut to look like an ace face, you can also dress like one too. Upstairs, they have a wide range of men's and women's clothing to suit you for any occasion. So what are you waiting for? Go check them out. How are we doing, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Talking to Mod. This week we have someone who has represented his country in the Olympics, in the Commonwealth Games, in boxing. That name is Aidan Walsh. He's an absolute gentleman and I'm looking forward to having him on the podcast. So sit back, relax and enjoy Talking to Mod.
Oh, here he is.
Ben Hastings, I'm up.
I thought you were in Australia, mate.
No, I'm in Dublin. Not as scenic as Australia, but not too bad. Ben Hastings.
I'm very well, my friend. I'm very well. Do you know what, right? I had an image in my head. I thought, as soon as he comes on, right, I want his medals all round him and a big, like, smiley grin. I thought, he's got to do it, innit?
Oh, no, that's not the lavish lifestyle of an athlete. I'm in Dublin currently training, so... No, we're in the heart of a hard training camp, so no, not too lavish or nothing too sort of too mad over the next few weeks anyway, Ben. But how's things yourself?
Very well, mate. Honestly, I can't complain, mate. I can't complain. Thank you for joining me on this, mate, because, I mean, every time I see you, we have a lovely chat about, obviously, what you go through in terms of the training and the dieting. And I think, do you know what? It'd just be so good for people to hear this. So, thanks for joining me, mate. It's a pleasure. But you mentioned you're in Dublin at the moment. Just talk us through what you're going through on a day-to-day basis, mate.
Yeah, so like a sort of normal day would be two sessions a day. Like you're up at 8 o'clock getting weighed in. You have your breakfast. You're training for say 10 o'clock, half ten. It could be a running session. It could be a weight session, or just even a boxing session. Then you get your lunch. You're back to bed. You're relaxing. You're chilling out, and you're out again at 3 o'clock. You sort of more sort of pad work or sparring or some type of combat training, or else it could be again lifting weights or running. It just depends. It varies between sort of what phase you're in, and then obviously you're back, get your dinner, and you're in bed for the rest of the night. Then again, that sometimes could be an extra session added in the morning, so you could be doing pads at say 7 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock in the morning, and so that brings it up to three sessions a day. So it's tough going, but it's something that when you enjoy it, it just makes it that bit easier. Not that you do enjoy it all the time, but when you do enjoy it, it does make it that wee bit much easier. But yeah, just it's hard, and people always think like, oh, you're away at camps and you're living a great life, and it is like of course you're grateful for it all, but it's tough, and there's a lot of times when you're free time almost, and it's almost like there's too much free time at times. I'm just very lucky and fortunate that I have Michaela, obviously my sister, who's part of the team as well, so we sort of share the same room and we're able to sort of bounce things off each other and have that home away from home. So I just feel very lucky that way, but it's tough, and it can be rewarding as well, but it can also be demanding. And people often say boxing's like it'll never love you back, but I feel that at this stage of my career, Ben, to be honest, I've got everything I've ever wanted out of boxing, so I'm in a sort of different phase of my career now. It's something that I try to pursue. Like I'm in the middle of studying a master's degree. I'm trying to use the time more wisely. That, like when I was younger, I didn't really use the time wisely. So now I'm a wee bit older and I'm still trying to learn as I go. But it's hard, but at the same time, it's very rewarding. And if you can use it to your benefit, I think that's where you get the most out of it.
100%. There's something you mentioned there. I've had a few boxers on here in the past, and they've mentioned the same thing. You know, going away when you're on these training camps, people think, oh, you know, you're doing what you love, which, as you said, you are doing what you love, but it's also hard as well. And it can be very like mentally draining, because like the other boxers I had, they had the family back home, they were away from the kids, the wife, the missus, and it can be very like, it's just you on your own. You're very lucky you got your sister with you, as you mentioned. But I mean, Has there been times in the past where it has literally just been you?
Yeah, like even at the minute, like Michaela's away at the European Championships, and I'm just in the room here, just on my own. We have a sort of small house that they let us stay in, but it can be something that you do get used to it over the years. It's something that I've struggled a lot with at the start because, man, I was always used as a kid, like most kids. You get up, you go to school, a lot of distractions. You're in school messing about, you're home, you're on the Xbox for an hour, you're through out to the boxing gym, you're home, you're in bed, and it's just a sort of repeated cycle. You had no real time for worries, or you had no real thinking space. And whenever I first came to the national team, there was a lot of free time and a lot of idle time. And like obviously a saying that says like an idle mind is the devil's workshop, and it's something I think a lot of sports people struggle with because there is a lot of free time. And over the years, as I said just previously, I found it hard to manage that free time. Again, it can be used by like scrolling TikTok, Instagram, or all that type of stuff. So just now I'm at a stage, it's like, how can I use this free time? I've hopefully another few years of my career left. I hopefully have a good sort of backing and support network where I can actually manage studying and training. And I'm at just the stage now where I think for me, how to manage that time to the best of my ability. I think that's one of the main goals I have in my career now, along with obviously other goals in sport. But I think how you manage that time and the things that you do around that sort of free time gets you in a good mind frame as well, because there's a lot of free time and there's a lot of time to worry and think and sort of just let your head just go, you know, yourself, and that's not a good place to be. So I think it's just about being cautious and just learning sort of coping mechanisms that I've learned over the years, just to manage it and just sort of deal with things.
100%, 100%. And what I love about, but I mean, we've had this chat before, not the first time I met you, second time when we're in that playhouse. Do you remember for your sister's little girl's birthday? And we were chatting about what I mean. I did a little bit, nowhere near a standard that yourself and your sister, nowhere near, mate. But my dad sort of got me into boxing, and what I loved about it is the discipline and the respect that you have for the opponents, the people you're training with, and your coaches. And that's something that, for instance, in football, there's nothing like that at all. But you learn from early on to respect and be disciplined, and that's what I love about boxing.
Yeah, do you know what, Ben? Like, I find a lot of sort of good level sports people are real genuine people. And I think, as you say, it comes from sport, it comes from the lessons that you learn at a young age, that discipline, that respect, and that just that genuine authenticity. Because again, when you're using them traits and them characteristics, that's when you're at your best in sport. That's what I find. And when you're being authentic, and when you are disciplined and you are respectful, you become successful in sport. And it's the stuff that I'm working on myself now is again a lot of stuff outside of the ring, because I do find the better person you are outside the ring, it just evolves into the ring, and you see it in your success, and you see it. And I think it's a big thing for me now. Just again, just being a good person. A lot of things that I do, and a lot of interviews, and a lot of sort of messages that I try to put out there are positive towards that sort of being a good person, being a good role model, being genuine. Of course, I'm sure there's people out there that don't like me, and there's things that maybe people could say about me, but I always try to go at the end of the day and say, did I live by my true values? And again, that goes back to when you were a young kid, the lessons you learned, as you said, the discipline, the respect. And I think if you do go back to them values and sort of hold yourself true to them values, you can't go too far wrong. And you can go to bed at night peaceful that you actually done your best. And that's just a big thing that I'm sort of still working on. And there's days that you don't and you aren't going to be your best self, and you may get into an argument or fall out with somebody. That's going to happen. But I think it goes back to that, them lessons that you learned at an early age in sport, that discipline, the respect, the commitment, and just being a good person. I think that carries you through life, Ben, regardless of your success.
100%, 100%. I mean, as long as you stay true to yourself and you do what you think's good as a person, because these days, how many times do we see people on the street and they don't respect like the people who are just in the bubble around them, you know, on a day-to-day basis, whether it be opening the door for an old woman or something. Do you know what I mean? Little things like that could end up making someone's day, smiling at someone, saying hello. So I know exactly what you mean there, mate. But I want to go back to the very beginning for you, mate. Like, what got you into boxing in the first place?
Yeah, so I would have been about 7 when my dad first took me down to Snagness' boxing club on the Andersonstown Road. He had boxed there when he was a young kid, and he had connections there through coaches and friends who were still part of the club. And he brought me down just to sort of get me off the street. Obviously, a young lad, West Belfast, being able to sort of learn a few skills, just to sort of handle yourself. Obviously, going into sort of, you were in obviously primary school, going into secondary school in the next few years. So I think that was his agenda. And just to really get good people skills. I think in a boxing club, you're always surrounded by like-minded people, like people who are driven and determined and want to succeed. And I think from an early age, he wanted me in that environment. And then obviously when I got down there and enjoyed it and started to love it, Michaela, who was a few years older than me, she wanted to then get involved. But at the time, boxing for girls wasn't really as big as what it is now. The boxing club, as good as the word, said yes, absolutely, bring her down and get her stuck in. And Michaela was coming down and just out training all the boys. And I think they were saying, get her out, get her out. She was just out training everybody. She was in the runs, she was always first in the session, she was always the first there, last out. She used to run to the boxing gym and then run home. She was just out training everybody. So I think that's where I sort of got my commitment and my dedication and the work ethic from a young age was from Michaela. But that would have been about 7 years of age, Ben, and then you were sort of in and out and fighting and sort of club shows and just going around the country fighting in club shows and just getting that real bug for it. And you actually weren't allowed to compete till you were 11. So I think that was sort of my drive. It was almost because I felt like I'm more like fighting so much. I can't wait till I'm 11 to fight. And I used to say to my daddy, "Can I just fake it and put the wrong name down it? Like I just want to fight the proper fight." But because you were under 11, it was all exhibitions, exhibitions, no decisions. So I think that sort of holding me back was actually wanting me to push on and do more. And then obviously when I got to about 11, 12, I started going and entering competitions that were sort of like the Antrim titles and the All Irelands and just different competitions. But it started there from about 7. So young age, looking back, very young. If I have kids now, I don't think I would be pushing them into sport. I would be sort of pushing them down the education route or maybe a bit of golf, something with a bit more money in. But yeah, 7. So looking back, it was young age, but I think you have to sort of be in at a young age if you want to sort of have an advantage going forward. Not always, but just if you can't get in early, it's like anything. If you can get in early and you can learn the skills and the traits and enjoy it, I think it gives you a bit of advantage going forward.
Did you have many heroes? Like, was it, did you have a boxing hero growing up?
Yeah, absolutely. I was very, very lucky. But as I said, Michaela was my first one because I seen her out train everybody. And all the people in the boxing club who were a few years older than me, who I would have looked up to in like around the Belfast area, who were in my school and stuff, Michaela was out training them. And so I was seeing this and being like, this is crazy. Michaela's like just out doing everybody. So that was my first real sense of a role model. And then when I got to about 11, 12, I came across Ram Burnett, who obviously went on to win Unified World titles and was just an incredible role model for me growing up. And I always loved watching Ram Burnett. He taught me like a lot, like at an early age, not only about boxing but life. I copied absolutely everything Ram done, his attitude towards training, his discipline as well. Again, like Michaela, he was just someone who was a real positive role model in my life. He was like 5, 6 years older than me, so he was going to tournaments again with Ireland. He went to the Youth Olympics, so he was constantly going away, and he was bringing me back sort of like these souvenirs, like the Ireland tops and the sort of the Ireland vests. And he was telling me like, I'm sparring you, and I'm fighting guys in the Olympics, and they're nowhere near your level. You're giving me a better spar." He was building my confidence up from a young age. So that was the first, like him and Michaela were two real positive role models in my life from a really early age. And that's why I feel so lucky and fortunate because like not many people get to have genuine people who are actually successful in sport and have good, real sort of authentic traits about them that you can learn from at such a young age. So that benefited me massively.
Do you know, before I even asked that question, right, I was going to write down a name and I would have said your sister. I just knew you were going to say that because what I love about both of you is, of course, your brother and sister, right? Sometimes you're going to love each other and sometimes you're going to hate each other. That's just life in general. But you both bounce off each other. You both help each other to work up the ladder and you both bring out the best in each other. And I think that it's honestly, it's just such an amazing story. I mean, I've seen many interviews you've done. Both of you, when you're both so grateful for one another because you literally do drive each other to get to the top, didn't you?
Big time. Like I can genuinely, like, from my hand on my heart and say I would far more rather see Michaelis succeed than me, and that's the God's honest truth. Like, for me, but I'm at a stage in my career now, it's like Michaelis a few years older than me, but I'm at a stage in my career now where my dream was always to win an Olympic medal. Like, that was the goal for me. And Michaela, they both get to the Olympics. That in itself was something that was massive for me and my family. For us to go there and for me to get a medal and Michaela not get a medal, like that, as happy as I was to win a medal, I almost just, it's broke my heart seeing her not get a medal because I personally feel that she deserved it more than what I did. And that was just something that I feel and I still feel, and I said it after, I would easily cut this medal in half and give the whole thing to Michaela because I personally feel she deserved it more than I did. And even now, looking at the way things turned out and stuff, it was a real blessing that after the Olympics we both went to the Commonwealth Games and both won the gold medal together. And to see that, even her, and again I said it then, I says, for her to win a gold medal at the Commonwealth Games, I didn't care about the medal. I didn't even want the medal. As ungrateful as that sounds, because it's not the case. I was so grateful, but to see her win the gold medal, and to be on the top of the podium where I feel she deserves, maybe that's me being biased, but where I feel she deserves because she just puts so much into the sport and she
So
just
you see the work she does, didn't you?
absolutely. But at the same time, everybody puts in the work. Well, everybody says they want these things, and a lot of people don't really put in the work. And you're right, you see it firsthand, the life she lives, the dedication, the discipline, all the traits that brought me success, the traits that I learnt off her, they're just traits that, like, if I hope if I ever have kids in the future, like my kids have them traits, I'd be saying copy your auntie Michaela, because it's them traits that carry in life. And sometimes it can cause you trouble because it can be a wee bit too much, but at the same time, like, it's not a bad trait to have. Like, it's just and seeing it firsthand at home, and because people have role models, but then you don't see them when you're at home. I get to see it in the gym and at home, and that's the difference, and that's why it's such a genuine feeling for me. But maybe if it was a brother, it would be the other way about. Maybe it would just be, nah, when I want to do him, I want to do him. But for me, it's there's no competitiveness. It's just pure authenticity, to be honest, and that's just the way it's always been for me.
Honestly, mate, like just listening to you, the way you talk about your sister and that, and it is just so lovely to hear. And it is such a love an amazing story as well. It is such an amazing story, mate, and I truly mean that. And I hope you both go on to achieve everything you want to because you both deserve it. Because
Thank
every
you.
time I've seen both of you just it can happen to two of the nicest people. Do you know what I mean? And that's not me just blowing smoke up your ass and all that. It's me being genuine. And sometimes I feel like in life you should give comments to people when they deserve it. And it honestly, mate, I wish you both all the success in the world, mate. And I know you're going to go on to achieve much, much more than what you already have, which has been amazing.
Thank
And
you.
that's all right, mate. Let's talk about that though. I mean, to represent, you know, like your country on one of the biggest stages, I can't even imagine what that feels like.
It's incredible being like, looking back, I probably am more appreciative of it now, because at the time going through a few things that just certain times that I didn't even want to box when I was going to the Olympics. There were certain I was going through a bit of a patch where I was in it and I couldn't get out of it, and the Olympics was happening and you were on the plane to Tokyo and you were like, right, let's go, this is it. But looking back, it was something like, I really wish I had enjoyed it more, because when there's a lot of pressure, not that there was a lot of pressure, but just COVID was on and there was a lot of eyes on it because it was a big sporting event. Nobody was out of their houses. Basically meant more people was watching, more people wanted to see you do well, looking back, which is great. There was just, for me, and I think a lot of athletes said, like, even their second Olympics, and that's probably partly why I came back to go to try and get the second Olympics, because I wanted to enjoy it that wee bit more. It was my first Olympics, first time experiencing it. We qualified like a month before, so you didn't even have time to enjoy being qualified for the Olympics. It was like qualified straight on that plane to Tokyo, training camp in Tokyo, straight down to the village, and then straight to the boxing. And looking back, it felt for ages. Like we were away in Tokyo for like 6 7 weeks, and it was like the longest 6 or 7 weeks of my life. And again, I thought I was maybe the only person experiencing the sort of the homesickness or like the feelings of like the pressure. But when you speak to other athletes too, a lot of people's going through the same thing. And another thing that I had that a lot of people didn't have was obviously having Michaela there, which was an extra bonus. But it takes a lot out of you, because after the Olympics it took a lot out of me that I'm still trying to recover from. But it's something that, like, it's a once in a lifetime
I
experience.
was
And
just about to say
yeah,
that it really is.
it is. And again, it's worth it. It is worth it. But at the same time, this time around, it's almost like before I needed the Olympics, it was almost like I was connecting myself to, as a boxer, and it was all like hitting the boxer, hitting the Olympian. It's all about the Olympics. Get the Olympics. You can say you're Olympian forever. This time around, it's almost like, no, I'm actually a person first. I'm a human being first. I don't need the Olympics. I don't need the medal, but I want to try and experience it, to sort of try and enjoy it a bit more, try and go with a little less pressure than what I did the last time. Does that mean I'll go and not get a medal? I don't know. Does it mean I'll go and perform to the best I've ever performed? I don't know. And it's all trial and error. But so far, coming back to, obviously, I was retired for 14 months, and I had to learn a lot about myself, to be honest, Ben. I had to go through a bit of a phase where it was difficult, and obviously stepping away from the sport was very difficult. But I came back and I said to myself, no, I want to do it different this time. I want to try and take the enjoyment out of it. Enjoy sport. Enjoy being here. Don't see it as a job. Don't see it as a chore. I don't have to do anything. Nobody's forced me to do anything. This time I choose to be here myself. I choose to be going to training. I choose to be putting myself through it. Not anybody making me, or not anybody forcing me. And that in itself is something that is a lot different from the first time. And I just think as you go, you just learn more about yourself. And a lot of Olympians say the second Olympics is a lot different than the first. And me on the road to try and get to the Olympics, it's already very, very different so far. And I'm enjoying the process a lot more already. So fingers crossed, all goes
Yeah, we'll
well.
do, mate. But sometimes, as you mentioned, you do need to take a step back just to realize just exactly how much it means to you, and just exactly, you need that in your life. But sometimes it's always better to take a big step back and see it from a different angle, isn't it? And then when you get back into it, like you said, you just see it from a whole different
Yeah,
aspect.
big time. When I was retired from boxing, Ben, I didn't miss boxing one bit. One bit. And I was out of boxing for a long time. And people looking, even now when I came back and stuff, saying you weren't out of boxing, you were training. I can honestly say I didn't train once. I didn't even go a run. I didn't even go one run. Like a walk with a dog and the girlfriend was probably as far as it went. But I didn't miss it one bit, and I just needed that, as you say, that different perspective, that normality of being a human being, of being a person. I was always driven by the identity of an amateur boxer going to the Olympics. That was always my identity, identity, identity of, like, who are you? Oh, I'm a boxer. Or who are you? Oh, I was at the Olympics. Or what do you do? Oh, I'm a boxer. I was at the Olympics. And that identity, you can get wrapped up in that. And then when things aren't going well, or people don't recognize you as that, it almost causes a battle inside yourself. And it's just like a rabbit hole. Like, it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And it came to the point that I had to go and get help, and I had to go and learn more about myself, learn what was happening. And I was just really, really blessed to have great people, and I still have great people around me. And I think that's key, and that's something in life that I learned a lot about, is having the right people around you. Because being after the Olympics, I always was worried about people saying about me that, oh, he changed, or he became this, or he became that, he got a medal. But I actually found out, Ben, it's not the case. It's the other way about. Everybody else changes. Everybody else starts to treat you different. Everybody else starts to give you favors and want things off you and treat you differently. And if you don't reach that expectation, then you're the bad guy. Then you're, he used to be a nice guy. He used to be sound, or he used. And that was something that I realized. And when you have good, genuine people around you, when you have good people who want your best interests at heart, like they don't care about anything else. They don't care about sport. Sports tiddlywinks, to be honest. Like I'm in sport now, and I think it, like a lot of athletes think it's the be all and end all. When it's not, it really isn't. And it took me a long, long time to find that out. There's so much more than sport, and that was something that I needed to work on myself, because when I first asked for help and I first was getting help, it was all like everything was boxing. I didn't know anything else. I see if someone had said to me, do you know about like golf? I would have said, what's golf? Or do you know about snooker? What's snooker? Any other sports or anything outside of boxing? I didn't have a clue, because I was so wrapped up in boxing, boxing, boxing. And yes, it brought me success, but yes, it brought me a lot of problems. It brought me a lot of problems that I'm still working on to this day. But with the help of great people, I'm managing it a lot better, and I'm enjoying myself, and I think that's key. And I think it's so important. I'm probably rambling on there, but just like the key of good people around you, it just helped a lot.
Yeah, that's always the key to have good people around you, mate. It's the key to success. That's what I always got told. Going back to something you mentioned, the expectations that people have of you, and they're like, oh, well, you've changed around this. And as you mentioned it, you nailed it. It's not that you've changed, it's people have changed the way they see you now, because they've obviously seen you on the TV. Oh, he's done this, this, that. Oh, he's done, oh, can we have this, or any chance of it? And people will always want a bit of the pie. It's similar to, like, for instance, it's a totally different ball game. I'm in the entertainment industry, you're in the sports. Do you know what I mean? But it's like, all of a sudden, I started doing all these tours with all these bands and that, and then people were messaging me who never used to message me for ask me how I was and all that, and they're like, any chance you can get a ticket? And then when you ignore them, you're the one who's changed. Nothing to do with they're the ones who never text you and ask you how you are and that. It's like, oh, can I have a ticket? Or the one that I absolutely love is, oh, any chance you can get me a signed picture off of so and so? Or, oh, we're doing an auction, any chance? And you're thinking, hold on a minute, do you know what I mean? Like, this ain't how it works.
No.
But as you say, people will always want to try and get something off you, mate, wouldn't they?
Yeah, it is. And I think it's human nature, firstly, and it took me a long time to understand that. It's human nature, and it's something that sometimes I was going a lot deeper into it. But I always thought, like yourself, when you're a good person, when you like to think you're a good person, like it's just you don't want to let people down, and I think that's the main thing too. And I always felt guilty if I felt I was letting somebody down. And that was a lot of work that I had to do on myself again. And it was almost like, no, you can't please everybody. You really can't. And it's hard, because you want to try and help as many people as you can. But then where does it end? And where does your own feelings and your own family and the people that matter to you, like they have to come first? And again, it's hard. It's easier said than done. Like you hit the nail on the head. It's easier said than done. But I just think when you do have genuine people around you who can give you a bit of sound advice, it makes all the difference.
I mean, it's good that you've got it's just the two sisters you have, isn't it, as
Two,
well? You've got
yeah, two.
Tasha and Mikhail. I mean, you've got two great role models there, though, ain't you? I mean, I wouldn't want to mess with the pair of them, to be honest.
That's it. Like, see, when we were younger, like everybody always used to be afraid of Michaela. It was funny, because when you're younger, people would say, oh, he has a big brother, don't be coming there, it needs to be his big sister will come after you. But it's great to have, like, it's somebody who, it's just like Michaela keeps me right all the time. Michaela, I would be more of like a people pleaser and always want the champ people please, where Michaela sees that and she would like say, Aiden, no, you're not doing it. And sometimes they give her certain things, she would actually say no for me, because she's just like, nah. She sees it that sometimes it's easy to get took advantage of. And but not so much now, Ben. But after the Olympics, and then obviously after the Commonwealth Games, there was a lot of it, and the sort of ball was rolling. And where I haven't had that much success lately because of my time away, so it's all quiet now, so I'm enjoying it, and there's not too many things that I have to worry about at the minute, so which is a good thing.
Course, mate. Man, of course. What would you say is one of the highlights of your career so far? That's something that you like to relive over and over again in your memory when you get, say, for instance, you have a bit of a down day and you relive this moment, it just sort of picks you straight back up.
It would be the Commonwealth Games just in 2022, and just purely for the reason, Ben, and I'll be honest, and I always tell the story. A few weeks before, I had a breakdown and I wasn't going to go, and we were in the boxing gym and in Jordanstown, we were training, and I remember just I started crying in the gym, and Michaela saw me, she came over, I had the towel over my head, just started crying, just having a breakdown. And I just said, it's over, Mikhail, I'm retired and all. And yes, 100%. And I went home. I went home from the camp. I was completely done from boxing. And the coach at the time says, yeah, don't worry, take your time, no pressure. Like, don't even come back if you don't want to. It was real good man management. And I ended up, I came home. And I actually went straight to the caravan with my girlfriend. We have a wee caravan on the Antrim coast. And I went to the caravan. I went and I was having, I went, I said to myself, not, no boxing, no nothing. Just purely, I'm done boxing. Go down a few tins of Coke, enjoy myself, a few fries, and just I didn't go. I didn't. I said I'm done. I ended up. I managed to go back to the camp a few days later, just to sort of wait out of respect for the coach, let me go home. And I ended up. I went back, and somehow I just ended up going instead, and I ended up going to the Commonwealth Games. And I said to myself, the whole goal of this Commonwealth Games is just pure. I don't care about the medal. I don't care about winning. I wasn't even going to be here. I've retired from boxing. My main goal is just pure enjoyment. And for them games, Ben, I had a can of Coke every day. I had a fry every morning. I didn't care about the results. I watched Derry Girls every single night. And I didn't care. Usually I would be so driven of always wanting to win and perform. I just didn't care about winning. And I went and I won the gold medal. I don't know how, to be honest. I really don't. I beat the European champion on the way to it. I beat the European silver medalist on the way to it. And I just said, I don't care about the result. I just want to enjoy it every single minute of it because I think this may be my last tournament. I think this may be my last chance of competing. And I just don't know. I went and won the gold medal and I don't know how. But I remember, Ben, and this is the moment that's so special to me. I remember getting home the night after winning. And I had my own room and I was getting the shower and it was all over and I just remember being so grateful that it was all over because it was a crazy few weeks leading up into it and stuff and there was a lot of pressure on me because it was like the Olympic bronze medalist going to the Commonwealth Games, favourite to win the gold medal. And I remember coming out of the shower and it was a summer's night and there was a balcony and on the door of the balcony I opened it and the sun was beaming through the window. And I remember just sitting down with my towel around me and I just sat down and I sunk into the chair. And I just remember looking out the window. And as I looked out the window, as I was saying, I was watching Derry Girls every night. And I was looking out the window, I was listening to the radio. And just as I was sitting looking, the song from Derry Girls came on the radio. And it was just like a moment in my life that I'd never experienced before, where it was like that same song from the Cranberries just came on, played. And it was the same song that played every night that I watched Derry Girls through the whole Commonwealth Games. That song came on the radio. And as I was just sitting looking out, I just says it was just something that was meant to be in my life. I'd never experienced anything like it in my life. And for me, that was one of the best moments of my sporting career. That moment, not even the medal or not winning the medal or not even, like, that was one of the best moments of my sporting career. Along with obviously Michaela winning the gold medal and me running down and giving her a bottle of Coke after. But just that whole games experience. My girlfriend was there, my mum and dad was there, my uncle was there, Michaela's girlfriend was there. It was amazing. And for me, just to have the people that I love and the people that I care about there, oh, it was amazing. And then I remember getting a video sent from my girlfriend that her mum and dad were at home and they were watching it and they were all jumping. And it was like all the years of being on the dole and not like worrying about jobs and worrying about things and was my career going to be a success and the highs and lows of the Olympics and the depression and the mental breakdown, the ups and downs, was it going to go, not going to go? And there I was sitting on a balcony looking out, looking right at the sun, listening to the Cranberries. It was like amazing. It gives me goosebumps every time I talk about it because it was just something that I feel was meant to be. That was amazing.
Have you ever thought about writing a book?
Do you know what, Ben? I would love to write a book, not about myself. I would love to write a or something, not so much a book because it probably wouldn't sell, but but just something around the help and support. I always say a quote, and it's something that I try to live by, and it's never let your struggles go to waste. And that's something that I would never want to do. Like if I could help, that's why I'm studying sports psychology at the minute, and I want to go into counselling or some type of area around helping people because I just think it would be a sin if I let some of my struggles go to waste. Because I would just love for me to give back to someone. If I could help one kid in the next 60 years of my life who was going through what I went through and got the help that I got and needed, I would mean more to me than any medal or any achievement because when I was going through it, I was like, I would have done anything to get them thoughts out of my head, to get them feelings out of my body. And it just helped, was like the speak out was probably the strongest thing I ever done. And that was me probably at my weakest moment, which is strange, but that's what I would love to do. I would love to write something about things and tools and coping mechanisms that help me, that could maybe help people in sport at a young age.
I know exactly how you feel, though, about just the way you talked about the past, and that you don't even have to go into detail. I know exactly how you feel, because I think some people go through it, and the ones who don't are very lucky that they don't, because when you go through it, it is the loneliest place in the world, mate. And no one, you can try and explain it to someone, and they say, "Oh, I know what you feel," but they haven't got a clue unless they've been there. They haven't got a clue. For instance, when I did one of the first ever tours I went on with the Libertines, after that, fuck, it was pretty much like hitting a brick wall. You imagine every night you're in front of 2,000 people, 3,000, and then there'd be a little venue you played, which was just under 1,000, and then there'd be three. Every night you're in front of thousands of people, right? And they're all watching you, right? And then when the tour's finished and no one's clapping or no one's cheering, fuck me, mate. Sorry to swear, but that's one of the, it just drove me insane, mate. And I couldn't, to the way I sort of, the way I got around that to try and chase the buzz was I ended up going down the route of drinking and drugs. Do you know what I mean? But I mean, I was never going to end up playing for Fulham or end up being an Olympian. Do you know what I mean? So I just thought, this ain't going to affect my career too much, but it made it worse, because although it sort of puts your thoughts on hold, because the drinking are just, oh, they've disappeared for a minute, but then when you wake up that next day, they'll be there and they're like 10 times worse. So then you do the same thing again, but then it's 20 times worse, and no matter what you do. So I ended up getting help. I ended up ringing, getting counselling, and then reading books and going to meetings and stuff like that. And took me a long time to sort of get out of that rut, and until probably, ooh, coming up to 2 years now, I just stopped the drinking completely, because I found the drinking was making everything 20 times worse. You know, I'd do a show in front of about, I don't know, 200 people, a little intimate show. Straight after, I'd be on the piss for about 2 days. Do you know what I mean? You end up wasting the money that you made just on a bender, and you've got nothing to show for it, and oh mate, it's heartbreaking, isn't it, man? But it's like everyone experiences it differently. But when you speak to someone who you know, like, do you know what I mean? Like yourself, you just know what it's like, because you just feel like, what's the fucking point? I'm a bit worthless here. I'm just gonna sort of self-destruct, isn't it? You just think, well, why not? But the thing is, mate, we both live to tell the tale, and that's the main thing about it, is we both, I think it's both, I mean, certainly made me a stronger person. And just from listening to you in this chat, mate, the way you're so motivated now about it, you know, that's all in the past, and you're using it as a stepping stone to go, right, this is what's happening. And if anything, mate, it's made you the person you are, isn't it?
But one thing I'm actually so grateful for, to be honest, Ben, is again, like, if you hadn't went through the struggles, like, I wouldn't have met the people that I met, like I wouldn't have met but again, going back to like the people you have around you, I think that is so important. And now I just feel I'm in a good position because I have a good family, I have a good girlfriend, I have a good support network. I just think that is key. And like you said, I'm sorry that you had to go through certain things yourself, because it's hard, and it is. But one thing that I find, that it's almost like when you're sort of in a bit of the spotlight, and you do come out and say you're struggling or you're going through certain things, it's almost like, how can you be struggling? You're an Olympic medalist, or how can you be struggling? You're doing shows every night. Like, you should be so grateful. But it's actually not. It's not. It's when you're like, it's almost like, oh, because you're doing well, you can't be struggling. And it's almost when you do speak out, oh, no, there's people out there worse off than you. You're living the dream. You're living the dream. You're getting paid to do what you love. And it's almost like, and that was partly one of the reason, like, even like having a breakdown, it was almost like any word that you tried to go and get help, everybody was seemed to be telling you what to do. Do this, do this, do this. One of the best people I've ever met in my life that I went to was one of the first people in my life that never ever told me what to do. And I realized that I didn't need to be told what to do. I just needed to be listened to. I had been told what to do for years and years and years, and when success came, more people told me what to do and more people told me what to do. But when I was speaking out, nobody was listening. And for someone just to listen to you was probably one of the best feelings that I've ever had in my life. And being able to rationalize and put into logic why I was feeling the way I was feeling, why I was having the thoughts I was having, and to be able to normalize it a wee bit. And up to this day, I'm still trying to normalize it. I'm still trying strategies and coping mechanisms that we all probably need at some stage of life. But like even for instance, like just self-compassion, that's something that I'm working on at the minute. It's like, and it goes back to right to your childhood or people that you've experienced in life and sort of authority figures telling you what to do and what like. And just it's just being that wee bit kinder to yourself and people around you. That's stuff that I'm trying to work on at the minute. But it's just really interesting. But sorry to hear that you had to go through it too, and obviously and have some bad experiences too, because at the same time, like everybody's pain's like enormous to themselves, and it's not nice. So sorry to hear, but glad to see obviously you're back doing what you do and what you love and are doing good.
I appreciate that, brother. Thank you very much, mate. And the same to you, man. The same to you.
You.
What? Let's. Honestly, as I said, I mean, I think we said this before when I met you before, but I feel like I can chat to you for ages, mate, to be honest with you, because just one thing always leads on to another, and this and that. And I think I remember last time. I think the missus was saying, "Oh, were you putting, was I putting your head
Oh
away and all
no,
that?" I'm like, "Listen,
love it.
put the brakes on a minute." Do you know what I mean? But
I love
it's
it.
I just find the whole story, what you've done and everything, is just so fascinating, mate. That's why I wanted to have you on. But I want to know what's coming up for you. Let's talk about that, mate. What have you got to look forward to? I know you're in your training camp at the moment, but
Yeah.
let's talk about that. What's coming up?
Yeah, so hopefully, like my main aim is obviously the Olympic qualifiers, which are in a few months. I'm not too sure what way things are going to go, if I'm going to be selected or not for them, but I am training towards the Olympic qualification and the Olympics this year. Michaela's obviously qualified, Noel and Ireland have already qualified seven boxers, so hopefully all go well and things go well and in my favour, I'll be there also. But at the same time, I have a lot of things obviously that I enjoy in life now, and one of them being obviously doing a master's degree. It's something that I enjoy. Like at school, I wasn't the best student or the best pupil, so I don't know where it came from or what why I wanted to get into education, but I just love studying at the minute. I use a lot of my downtime to study, I use a lot of my rest time to study, and I just love it. So, again, if the Olympics happens, it's going to be a bonus, of course. I would love to go to the Olympics, and that's one of my main goals. But I'm just putting a big emphasis on, like, it's regardless of that, I've still a lot in life to look forward to. I've a lot more going for me now in a way of I've just a lot more things outside of sport. But at the same time, you obviously focus in and you sort of you pull the reins in on other things to sort of focus on the boxing. But one of the main goals would be the Olympics this year. But at the same time, studying's a massive part, and obviously like yeah, just trying to sort of balance the two. I think they would be the two main things in my life at the minute. So plenty to look forward to, and just again, big emphasis on enjoyment, trying to keep myself happy and peaceful, to be honest. Just trying to keep myself in a good frame of mind, which doesn't always happen. There's obviously situations and scenarios that pop up out of the blue that you can't control. But the Olympics would be the main thing along with my study, so they would be the two that I would sort of be putting the most time into at the minute.
Good man, good man. Well, as I said before, I wish you all the best, man, and just keep doing what
Thank
you're
you.
doing, because it seems like what you're doing now is working for you, and you're in the right frame of mind and right headspace, and you know what you want to get to, mate. So just keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks, Ben.
Let
Thanks
me
very
ask
much.
you this before I let you go. You say you're in Dublin at the moment.
Yeah.
Do you do a lot of evening walks sometimes, just to clear your mind or anything? Do you have like headphones on and go for a walk around, or?
Actually, to be honest, I wouldn't do it as much as I would like to do it, Ben. To be honest, where we are is a lovely place. Like we're in a Sport Ireland campus. It's like all fields, and we're staying actually in a house on campus and all. But I would try to do it, but a lot of the time, Ben, because the training could be so intense, you're just absolutely knackered.
Knackered, yeah.
Yeah, you're just knackered. You're in bed, and it's almost like you're just trying to use your time to sort of learn better, and if you can do things while you're learning better, like studying, it's a bonus. But I enjoy walking, like even at home, like I enjoy going walks, obviously with a girlfriend and stuff, and the dog as often as I can. But a lot of the time, Ben, even when you come up the road on a Friday, I would be back at home at the weekend, you're just absolutely knackered, and it's almost like anybody tells you to do anything, it's like, geez, I'm just busted. I just want to lay in bed. But I would like to do it more, Ben, and with the brighter nights coming, I hopefully will try and get a few extra walks in, and just but walk again, walking and being out in nature, as you know, is something that's incredibly good for the head. And sticking the headphones in a good podcast, like you can't go wrong.
No, 100%. That's something that it's the getting there. I mean, I love walking. I'll go for evening walks. After this, I'm probably going to try and go to the gym. But it's that at the beginning of the week, you think, oh, God, But as soon as you do it, like for instance, as soon as you get out the door and you take that first step, it's always that first step out of the comfort zone. And then you're like, oh, God, I'm doing it now. I might as well just stay here for an extra 10 minutes in the gym or half an hour of walking. Before you know it, you've probably walked around for about 5 miles. You end up getting a cab back home because you're that far out. Do you know what I mean? But it's very good for you, man. But honestly, Aidan, I've really enjoyed this one, and I'm not just saying that. This is one of my favourite ones so far because I liked how open you were, and I think a lot of people are listening to this, and I truly think that you said in there about writing a book, and you hope that if you wrote a book about sort of the struggles that if one person it helped, I'll tell you now, mate, someone will listen to this and it will hit a lot of people. So I appreciate your honesty with it, man. It's very refreshing to hear, man.
Oh, thanks very much for having me, Ben. It's an absolute pleasure. And as always, don't listen to your girlfriend. I love chatting to you every time. So, and hopefully, obviously, we'll get more chats in the future because it's a privilege to know you and it's an absolute blessing. So, thank you very much for having me on. I really mean that.
God bless you, man. It means a lot. Listen, you get your head down, listen to some good music, and I wish you all the best, and I'll keep in touch with you,
Thanks
man.
very much, Ben. You too, buddy.
See
Thanks
you soon,
again.
brother. Take care,
Thank
man. Bye
you.
bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
The name's gone.